Titus chapter 3. Amen. Titus chapter 3. I've been pondering a question this last two or three days. Matter of fact, I was going to preach this Wednesday night, but I ended up preaching something else. So I was actually planning on preaching that this morning. So I switched around. I preached that one Wednesday night. And I'm going to try with the Lord's help to preach this one. Amen. You ever wonder what God thinks about you? Huh? Really? How many has ever been guilty of thinking what somebody else thinks about you? I wonder what they think about me. You know, I know it's why they've been looking at me lately. I just wonder what they're thinking about me. Does anybody else ever do that besides me, or is that a Kentucky thing or something? I wonder what that deacon thinks about me. I wonder what the pastor thinks about me. I wonder what Brother David thinks about me. He's Sunday school superintendent. I wonder if he thinks I'm good enough to teach Sunday school or not. I just wonder if he thinks I should resign. And you ever just wonder about stuff? Sometimes I wonder about stuff. That's an inside joke to my family. Amen. That's why my wife's smiling right now. Sometimes I wonder about things. Amen. In all sincerity, I've been wondering, what does God think about me? Amen. Let's read Titus chapter 3, the book of Titus chapter 3. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to give every good work, to speak evil of no man. Need to underline that one. To be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Wait a second. Let's read this a little slow. We're going too fast. Paul's telling Titus, this is what you're going to do. Now, you put them. See, Titus was a pastor. He was on the island of Crete. He had a little congregation there. Very wicked city. And Paul was saying, Paul, that Titus, that congregation you got, you put them in mind to be sober, to be subject to principalities and powers, and to obey the magistrates. Be good citizens. Teach them that, Titus. Be ready to every good work. And Titus, you tell them, don't speak evil of no man. Don't be brawlers, but gentle. And tell them to show all meekness unto all men. Are you with me? You getting a better picture now? He said, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish. We were sometimes disobedient. We were even deceived. We served divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy. Living in. Catch that. Living. Titus, he's pretty rough herself. Are you with me? Hating one another. Well, now, wait a second. Verse 2, you told to speak evil of no man, don't be brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. He's trying to say, Titus, teach them to be a good testimony. Titus, teach them to be a good light. Because there are a bunch of folks that they got religious spirits about them. They're wicked, they're vile, and you overcome evil with, help me out, Bible readers, you overcome evil with good. And then verse 3, he points back and said, look, at one time we were no better than they are. Verse 4 says, but after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward men appeared. Reason I'm sort of smiling, because I know where I'm going. Amen. It's rich. Not the works of righteousness which we have done. Of course, he sure wasn't righteous out of verse 3, worthy. Amen. But according to his mercy, he saved us. But according, I'll tell you why he saved me, because he seen something good in me and he knew I was just going to be a great singer. Mm-mm. I'll tell you why God saved me, because he knew I was going to be a great speaker, not going to be a preacher. And I've heard folks say, man, there surely must have been something good in me. No. I don't want to bust your bubble, but are you with me? It wasn't none of us good. You wouldn't say, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he Done what? All right. I read the scripture a little bit different, don't I? I know most preachers just get up and rattle it off. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly. How? Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. That being justified by his grace. Justified. Wow. That is a powerful word. We'll get on that a little bit with the Lord's help. That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Whew. Man, it's good to be saved, isn't it? Titus is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. How many believe the Bible teaches consistent living, holy living? Oh, let's go. We'll see that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love, for your mercy. I thank you for your kindness. Thank you for this wonderful congregation. Thank you for the Spirit of the Lord that has already, God, been so real. I felt him, God, as I was playing. Brother James was testifying, singing in the choir, Lord. Oh, God. Oh, God. I really felt the Spirit of the Lord when James mentioned, Lord, that God loves us even when we don't do right. Man. So true. I appreciate you, Lord. I ask God that you give us clarity of thought and clarity of speech and help us to say this morning exactly what the Holy Ghost wants us to say, Lord, because I feel like that someone is here this morning that might be battling the enemy, and we'd like to combat that with the word of the Lord. In Christ's lovely name, everybody says, how many hates the devil? Praise God. We've got more amen. It's a little quiet. How many hates the devil?
Amen.
Woo, I hate the devil. I want to ask you a question. Do you ever wonder what people think of you? Huh? But, I mean, really, because I read something. I can't remember who it was, and it was on a presidency. I think it might have been Eisenhower. I can't remember. It was one of the sort of the famous presidents of the last century. And somebody asked him a question about polls. You know, of course, everything's in the poll. Obama's ahead and Clinton's ahead and McCain. So everybody, you know, of course, that's what folks think of you. Them poses imply what thing folks think of you. And I think it was Eisenhower who referenced Moses. And he said, I'm glad Moses didn't make his decisions based on the polls of the people. Are you with me? On what the people thought, because there are times that the people didn't like Moses. Amen. That ain't got nothing to do with my sermon, but what I'm pointing out, sometimes, you know, we think on what does people think about me? Amen. And, I've heard folks say this statement, I don't care what anybody thinks about me. Well, I understand that statement, but I do. I understand the statement that I'm not going to let it affect me. I'm not going to backslide because somebody don't like me, or I'm not going to divorce my wife because whatever. You know, I'm not going to do something, you know. But on the other side, I do care what people. I do try to live in a way that has an above approach standard. Is that all right? Amen. So I don't think that's the proper attitude to have. I don't care what anybody thinks about me. I'm going to do whatever. You know. Well, think about that. Don't blab off the mouth before you. Think about that. Well, that's a rabbit trail. That ain't my sermon. But if I were to ask Satan what he thinks about me, I ain't worried about what he thinks. That's one thing I ain't worried about. But if I were to ask Satan, what he would probably say is, you're a failure. You might have heard that. You might have heard that still small voice. You are the biggest failure. If I were to ask society what they think of me, society, the world, they'd probably say, you are a fool. Giving up all this, giving up every pleasure of the world, to go to a little country church that got all them do's and all them don'ts, do's and don'ts. Are you with me? Y'all caught that, didn't you?
I might as well just laugh with you there. I just make too many of them. I can't get mad. I just laugh with you. But I mean, that's what they would say. Satan would say, you're probably a failure, Brother David. I mean, if you was to say Satan, what do you think coming? Failure. He's get up and ask society, what do you think? What do you think of my life and where I'm living and how I'm living and what I'm doing with my life and raising my children in church and paying my tithes and giving and supporting missionaries and shunning the appearance of evil and not going to worldly amusements and worldly things and just live a simple life. And they'd say, man, you are a biggest fool. Are you with me? If you think about yourself and what you think about yourself, there might be times in a time of a mistake you might say, man, you're a fake. But can I tell you, it really doesn't matter what Satan might say or society or even self. But the biggest thing is, what does God think of me? Huh? What does God really think of me? You ever wonder that? Praise God. I mean, you ever wondered, is it possible to know what God thinks about me? Do we really want to know what God thinks about me? In this text that I read to you in our hearing this morning, Paul, of course, is writing to Titus. And Paul had three purposes in writing to Titus. The first one, he was to warn against false teachers. The second thing Titus was to set in order in the organization of the churches and the behavior of all believers. Boy, wouldn't that be fun to do? Amen. The third thing Titus was to do was to encourage Titus to preach sound doctrine. Amen. Are you with me? Amen. And Paul starts out in chapter 3 and says, Titus, put them in mind about certain things. He wants the saints to remember who they are in Jesus, what they have in Jesus, what God has done in them through Jesus, and what God expects of them as believers in Jesus. Help me, Holy Ghost. In these verses, Paul answers the question, amen, of what God thinks of me. That's right. In this passage designed for instruction to Titus, we can find, praise God, a word of encouragement. Some of you may be discouraged this morning. You may feel like that failure that Satan says you are. You may feel like that fool that society will say you are. And you might even feel like that fake. But all those, I'm not going to hear. I want to hear what God thinks about me. Amen. Can I tell you the first thing? Amen. And I feel the Lord is when I'm like, Brother James, maybe y'all need to get up here behind his pulpit. There's something right here just feels good this morning. But the first thing, God thinks you are precious. Amen. Satan says that God doesn't even, he don't care about you. How many's ever heard that? I have. I've heard the devil tell me God doesn't even care about you. Amen. But that is a lie. Matter of fact, when you read verse 3 and it paints this vivid picture of what we were sometimes foolish and disobedient and deceived. Amen. And you can see all that we were. Are you with me? Amen. You can see the extent of God's love. I mean, when you think of the word foolish, and the Bible said, for you were, ourselves were also sometimes foolish. Foolish is ignorance, amen, of everything to do with God. Disobedient means a rebellious toward any authority instituted by God. We were deceived, which means continually led deeper and deeper into sin by Satan. We were serving divers lusts and pleasures, a slave to our fleshly appetites and passions. It says we were living in malice, given over to a lifestyle of evil. Envy means never satisfied with what we have, but always grasping for more. Hey, you know, we think that, don't we? Well, if I could just have a nice house, I'd be so much more happier. If I could just have more money, and if I could just do this, I could do a whole lot better. Envy. Hateful. This is the natural fruit of all the above. This kind of life makes us mean-spirited and hard to get along. Was any of y'all hard to get along with before you got saved? Daniel's chuckling. I'm asking, some of you are hard to get along with now, but we'll leave that alone. It's a different sermon. But I asked you before you got saved. How many, was any of us hard to get along with? I would be. I don't think I'd be married. I just know the Simpson. I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like, you know, some of y'all might be proud of you, but I don't like Simpson. They're just too much of whatever. Amen. I like it more when the Spirit lives and rules in my life. Don't you? Amen. The Bible talks about hating one another. Sure, that wasn't, yeah, that was some of us. Walking without love for our fellow man, that is what we were. It is a terrible condition to be in, yet that is what the Bible says time and time again. You know, there's actually other scriptures in the Bible referred to what we were when we were in sin. In Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible says it like this, and you have he quickened, where who are dead in trespasses and sin, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, in the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. Even as, it don't paint a pretty picture of our life in sin, does it? But I want you to know this, verse 4 of Ephesians chapter 2 says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us with Christ. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. I tell you, God thinks, my friend, you are precious. Help me, Holy Ghost. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says it like this. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, covetous, amen, drunkards, revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Can I tell you, my friend, when you hear them voices from hell that saying you are a failure, that you are a fool, amen, say, shut up, devil. My Bible tells me that in God's eyes, I am precious. Hallelujah. Woo. Amen. I mean, and here's what catches me in verse 3. He mentions all these terrible things, and he's trying to paint them a picture. And he's saying in verse 1 and 2, you put them in mind to do this and be good and live right in front of your neighbor and do all this and obey them and be a good citizen because you were this. But notice what he said in verse 4. But after that, after, are you with me? Amen. He could have written us off and just allowed us to go to hell. Amen. But he loved us and did something about it. And the Bible says in verse 4, when it says, but after that is the evidence that God loved us. Amen. In other words, in spite of what we were and are, God chose to display his love for us. How did he do that? He did it, amen, through Jesus Christ. You want to know how much God loves you? All you got to do is look at the cross. And it says, written in red, I love you. I thought enough of you to give my only begotten son. God said, you're precious. You are precious. You are the child of God. Is precious in the sight of God. Amen. I'll tell you something. I don't know if anybody else, I'm sure they have. Amen. Brother James talking about the man who was 52, said he never heard his father say, Brother James, I'm 41. I never heard my dad say it. If I did, I can't remember. Matter of fact, I only heard the word love come out of his mouth once or twice. And that shocked me, and that was to my children. When one day he visited my church, and never had been to any church I'd ever pastored. One day he come and sort of shocked me. I just took a little church in Hazard, and he was living a little 12-foot wide, 50 by trailer. We was high class. And I pastored some big churches in my time. Amen. big in spirit, small in concrete and boards. But anyways, and Dad came one day and visited that church in Hazard, and the girls, they were just small, and Hope was probably 5, Spring to 10, something like that. And they said, "Love you, Papa." And I think he did it before he called himself. He said, "Love y'all too." And I'm like, I thought I was going to have a heart attack. I just, seriously. And I think that was the only time I've ever heard him say it. But I've never heard God to say audible, "I love you." Maybe you have. I think God can speak audible if he desires to, but I've never heard God, Brother James, tell me, "I love you," audible. But I have felt it, Sister Carolyn. And sometimes actions speak louder than words. Huh? Are you with me? It's like that one person, one little statement that I read. I've got it down here somewhere. If I can find it real quick. Probably can't since I'm looking for it. Amen. But it talked about, I can't hardly hear what you're saying because your actions are speaking something different. But I have heard God, not with all of my ears in an audible voice, but I have sensed his presence, Brother Daniel, in my 24 years, almost 25 years of serving him. I've sensed over and over and over just how much he loves me. Are you with me? Amen. After, in other words, in spite of what we were, God displayed his love. Amen. I mean, if you're looking for a little evidence, amen, on how much God loved you and how he thinks of you, think of the cross. You got to understand something. There was no other reason for the cross except you. It wasn't to redeem the animals. It wasn't to redeem the natural kingdom or whatever, or giraffe or fallen angels. The reason for Calvary is humanity. Amen. Every man, woman, boy, and girl, amen, that was ever, the reason for Calvary is God's love toward man. That while we were yet in our sins, Christ loved us and gave himself for. I want to tell you, the devil is a liar. You are precious. You are precious. You better not dwell on that spirit from hell that says you're a failure. Amen. You're a fool. If you dwell on that long enough, you'll get to thinking, man, that's right. And you'll leave the house of God and backslide and fall into sin. But can I take it to every child of God? I don't care about talking to somebody that's cold on God. He loves you. You are precious in his sight. Hallelujah. Help me, Holy Ghost. Amen. What does God think about me? What I was going to say just a minute ago, I'll tell you, there's probably sometimes some of you all, anybody ever fight self-esteem? You've heard, they got low self-esteem. And a lot of times low self-esteem comes from the way you were raised. Of course, I know you can't use that all your life to justify your low self-esteem. Sooner or later, you got to grow up and say, wait a second, I can change. I can't help where I was brought up. I can't help if I was brought up with an alcoholic daddy and a drug addict mom. I can't help it if I was raised like this. I can't help it if I was raised in a project. I can't help it if I was raised up, well, whatever, you know. But when you come of age, I mean, you can, you know, there's a lot of people do. A lot of people use that all their life, you know, for the reason I'm like I am. The reason I left my mama is because my daddy left my mama. Or the reason I left my wife, rather. The reason I left because my daddy left mom. And just come on here. Amen. I mean, you can't. I want to tell you something. When you think of God, when you think of how special, when you think of how precious you are to God, amen. In the Bible, you know the Bible I've watched. Amen. Sabrina and John, look at them right now. I glanced at them. They're both watching the baby. Can't hardly have church for them. Over in Kevin and Holly back here looking at Faith. I had to go back there and get a little glimpse of her smile right before church. And look at Brad and Julie, little boy. My goodness. I mean, I heard them grunt while I go in Mama Pipe. I went, phew. Seeing if they was wanting to, you know. There's something about it, ain't he? I mean, just y'all seen that? I seen y'all, Brother John, you sister Carolyn, a while ago in that, right at the beginning of the sermon. Might have been Sunday school and that little baby grunt or something like that. And Jonathan Carolyn just look back here and see, you know, that tension, that love. Is he wanting to crawl up here? It's just, we just can't hardly just watch him and adore him. And the Bible. And I think of my love. Of course, my children are a little bit older than that. But I think of the love that I have. And then my Bible tells me that my love compared to God's love for me is almost evil. I mean, I read that scripture and I stumbled. I mean, I'm honest with you. I said, oh, wait a second, God. Man, I'd give my right arm. I'd give everything. It wouldn't, I mean, I'd go bankrupt. I'd do everything if I had to. If they walked in your life or theirs, I wouldn't even think. I wouldn't have to pray about it. I wouldn't blink an eye. I'd say, go ahead, let them go free. I mean, that's just, and I feel that way in my heart. And God's saying, your love for your children, amen, doesn't even compare to my love. Amen. For you. Man, I feel the Lord here this morning. Shut up, devil. Leave me alone. You've been riding my shoulders too long. You've been riding my, I mean, come on here. I think sometimes we just, and I don't mean to be mean, but if we're not careful, we'll just let the devil ride in our mind. Amen. And say, we got mind now. We got everything. I just can't hardly have. I mean, sometimes you just got to get up and say, shut up, devil. Get out of my life. Get out of my mind. I'm going to stand on the word of God. And God's word said he loves me. God's word said I'm precious. God said, but after that, the grace appeared to me in spite of all of my sin, in spite of my wrong. God loved me. I never want to push any of my children out of my house. Not one time have I ever. Get out of here. I don't want to ever see your face again. My real dad told me that once. He did. He said, I don't want to ever see you again. Don't you ever step foot in my yard. Don't you ever come around my house again. My great sin was he'd sold me a car. And I kept the car for a few months. I sold him a car. And it was a good car. I think the brakes needed changing or something. Maybe a disc bad or something, rotary. And so he kept it 2 or 3 months, and he was going to sell it to my aunt by marriage, and she called and said, is anything wrong with that car? And I said, well, no, it's a good car. It's run good. I said, I think one of them rotaries need to be turned, you know, $30, $40, you know. And so she told my dad what I said, which I didn't. Of course, dad's a sinner, and he's just different. Mountain people are different. I guess y'all have learned that through me. I hope I ain't like that, but I want to be like that. And so he come up to the house, and I was there. And he said a few choice words. And I don't want you to ever come around. You made me look like a fool. I told her there was nothing wrong with that car. I told her. You know, that was my sin. You know, I've done worse than that, Brother James. And I've never since God say, don't you ever come to me again. Are you all with me? I know y'all probably never made any mistakes, but I've made a few mistakes, and I've never since God say, there's the door, Rick, hit it. Don't you ever come back. It's over. But you know what? I wish the girls could sing that song if at the altar call, that Hope's Call sings. What's that song, Hope? I like it good. It says, you are love beyond all measure. You are love beyond degree. Talks about your love beyond your failures. Huh. Dr. Rambo wrote the song. He looked beyond my fault. He looked beyond my faults. You know, maybe y'all wasn't that bad or something, but he looked beyond my faults. And he saw my need, Brother John. And he loved me in spite of all my sin. Even now, even 20-some years and my maybe say something or do, he loves me. I'm precious. Sometimes the devil will say, man, you're just going through this, and you know, and he'll actually even point me back to my real dad and just all kind of stupid stuff in my mind. Maybe y'all, if you ain't been raised in a broken home, you don't know anything about that. But man, he'll just, you know, sometimes he'll play with my mind, and I'll just have to just pressure that on down. You know what I'm saying? The Bible talking about bringing everything in your thoughts under, help me out here. You know, what I say here, I'm not giving you no room in my mind. I'm not going to let you play with my thought. No, that was years ago. I'm a new man in Christ Jesus. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. I don't care what happened. I couldn't help. I was a bad. I can't help. But I'm naming not now. I'm washed. I'm covered. I'm sanctified. I'm Holy Ghost filled. I got angels that encamp around about me. I got the love of God. I'm precious. I'm going to be precious in your sight. This world might call me, amen, a fool. Satan might call me a failure. But God says, you're precious. Oh, yeah. Woo! You're special. Amen. I tell you, God knew what we were. He saw what we all, with all of our sins and all of our baggage that some of us came to. yet he still chose to butt into our lives. B-U-T-T. Amen. He chose to butt into our lives. But ye are saved. But ye are washed. But after that, are y'all with me? Amen. Look at all his love and his grace did for us in verse 5. He extended his grace and mercy us to when we deserved nothing but hell. He saved us from the penalty of sin. That's the word saved. He cleansed us from all the defilements of our sins. That's washing. He made us a new creature out of us. That's called regeneration. And he placed his spirit within us to lead us deeper in him day by day. That's the word called renewing. God did all of this with no help from us. Our works, our religion, our efforts cannot save us. They only compound the problem. But God's love for us was not the love of a secret admirer. You ever heard that? No, my God's not a secret admirer. He's an open admirer. He showed me he loved me on Calvary. Woo! Man, if this wasn't Sunday morning and fried chicken wasn't on your mind, we could have church. Woo! God thinks you're perfect. And I know that's sort of hard to believe. Again, the enemies of the believer, Satan, in the flesh will tell you that you're dirty, wicked. They have no hope at all. But let me tell you something. The devil is a liar. Thank you, Brother Garner. Verse 7 tells me what God thinks about my standing. He says that I'm justified. Wow, what a word. Justified. What does it mean to be justified? Justified comes from a word that means, listen, to render righteous or such as he ought to be. It is a word that God speaks of. It is a word that speaks of God declaring the saved person to be in a perfect and right standing before God. That is saying a lot, isn't it? Description of being justified is far different from being forgiven. Listen. I got on this little paragraph, I got V, 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 G. Have I told that yet here? What that means? You find it in my Bible if I ever die. I done told my wife, I said, when I die, put my casket there on one side, have a table, have my Bibles, and so when folks flip through there, they're going to see passages of Scripture. V, 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 good. V, V, good. V, 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 good. V, 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 V. You know, the old black preacher had TP. Remember that story about the black preacher and his Bible? They looked at it after he died, and it's TP all through it. And some of them asked his wife, I said, what did it mean? He said, that meant tried and proven. That scripture had been tried and proven. So I couldn't use that because the old black preacher used it. So I used V, good, very good. And it says the description of justification is different than forgiven. Some people think that being justified is just saying, well, I'm forgiven. Mm-mm. Justification is far more powerful than that. When there is forgiveness, there is also the remembrance of wrong on man's point. Committed. A man might be convicted of a murder and be forgiven by the victim's family, but everyone still knows what that murderer did. But on the other hand, a person who had been justified has been totally acquitted and exonerated, if I pronounce that right, exonerated of all charges. There's absolutely no record of any wrongdoing. When we are justified by God, all record, are y'all hearing this? Of our sin is forever banished from the memory of the Lord. Oh, I know you did wrong 6 months ago. I know you made that mistake nobody knows about. I know there's some things in your past that we sometimes call skeletons in the closet. I'll tell you, when it's under the blood of Jesus Christ and it's cleansed and forgiven, and the Bible calls you justified. Amen. I heard another preacher say justified. Just what does it mean to be justified? Just if I had never sinned. Justified. Just as if I had never sinned. You can't do that humanly. You ever in your marriage have an argument, then ask forgiveness, and then 3, 4, 6 months later, a year later, you get in another argument, and she brings up, he brings up, Cindy, you weren't supposed to catch that. You caught that. I'm not thinking about that. I just said that. And, you know, you said you didn't mean that. You said that last year. You said that last time we got an argument, you said that same thing. Come on here. And then you'll say, I thought you said you forgive me. I thought you said you, I told you I was sorry. You know. God, don't do that. She might say, you've done that three times in the last year. You said you were sorry each time. God, don't keep count. Y'all ain't getting this. We'd be shouting right now. Just, he said, I said, you're precious in his sight. You're perfect. And if you're covered by the blood, if you're forgiven of, I mean, I know it's, we can't think in those terms. What do you think of perfect? You ain't perfect. Look at you, you're 300. And I have been losing weight. I'm going to tell you, I'm 300 something. Well, I'm 362. Beats 415. Like I was. Years ago. 362. Man, I'm trying to get down to 350 so I can get on a normal scale. Y'all don't get that. I go to the doctor sometimes, or the little nurses of Kentucky, and he knows it's been here, and they'll say, get on them scales. I said, they won't work. They'll work. I said, they won't work. It says 350. That's as far as the things go. It won't work. You'll have to guess. You'll have to say 350 plus. Question mark, question mark, question mark. Woo! Where was I at? Yeah, you're not perfect. Look at you. You know, your nose curls up like a sleaze. You're not perfect. Sabrina said, I'm glad I don't have a nose like Papa, like Daddy. It's pitiful, ain't you, when your children listen to you that way, ain't it? Yes, come on out with it. They'll tell like, you're not perfect. You made this mistake. Well, you know, I've seen you get angry. I've seen you do this. Yeah. But I've been talking to my father since then. Yeah, you might have seen me make a mistake. Yeah, I got real cold on God too. I made it, but you don't know, you don't understand. I've been back to the altar. I've been to that secret place. I've asked him to cover me from I've asked him to forgive me, and he's free. I know my brother, Norma, they might not, your wife, your husband might not get forgiven, but God said you're justified. Are you okay? God doesn't keep count. He don't know. He said, you've made 3,472 mistakes since you got, no! It's just like clean slate. Woo! Maybe I just needed this myself. Y'all probably didn't need this. Y'all probably also on top of the mountain. Man, just if I, everybody say, just if I had never sinned. I wish I could do that with my wife. I do. Some hurtful things I said. Especially when we first got married. I heard on the radio the other day, marriage counsel, one of them talk marriage counsel shows. Did y'all hear that too? Anybody hear that? This couple been married for 2 weeks, and it might have been Gary Smalley. He's the one that writes some of them, you know, how to be a better husband, better be a wife. He's got some good books. I've read Five Languages of Love. It's awesome. Read it. If you have marriage trouble, read it. It's good. Five Love Languages of Marriage. Pick it up, read it. I recommend it. And I think it was him. They'd been married like 2 weeks. And he said, his wife come to him and said, you know, she's just two-week bride. I said, honey, how am I doing? Am I doing all right for a wife? You know, I've been a wife for 2 weeks. How am I doing? And the host spoke up and said, what did you tell her? Well, in time, you'll get a little better. He said, no. I don't remember the exact phrasing of it, but in essence, I think he said something like, well, you're doing all right. You're just doing all right, you know. She was looking, you know, for a strong affirmation. Oh, honey, I couldn't ask for any better wife. You're just doing so awesome. It's like you've been my wife for 50 years. I mean, you were just looking for something, you know. And it was sharing this and talking about how that, you know, and that it just hurt her feelings. Boy, I'm glad. I wish I could go back and say, and take back some of the things that I said when I was just got married. And you know how you do. How many times your brother's ever been stupid? I hear the sisters giggling, but nobody, none of the men are saying nothing. Maybe that's too strong. I know we ain't Catholics, so you didn't have to confess right there. But I mean, we've just been silly sometimes. Lord, I wish, I said I'm sorry, but I just wish I could erase. There's no way. But God, when you ask him to forgive you, and you're sincere and he forgives you, he erases it. Come to the piano, Hope. Can y'all sing? Well, she's busy now. Can you sing it, Hope? You are love. It's a powerful song. I told Hope, I said, man, you need to sing a song, Hope. Hurry, hurry. Sing a song. Fried chicken's on her mind. It's 12:15. How many believes he loves us? I could go on with my next point. I don't have time. You're privileged. God thinks you're privileged. I could be like Brother Larry Collard did at my church. Larry's preaching. He's been preaching for about an hour and a half on a Thursday night. And he'd been preaching. He'd say, now for my next point. He preached another 20 minutes. Now for my next point. He preached another 20 minutes. Now for my next point. After about an hour and a half, and I'm not exaggerating, an hour and a half, his mama spoke up and said, Lord, have mercy, Dave. How many more points you got? Then he preached another 15 minutes before he closed. So when your mama says that, you're preaching too long. So I ain't gonna go that extra point there. So just saying, I want you to listen to the words of this song. We're going to pray. I feel like God's trying to help somebody here this morning.
You are love beyond your failures. You are love beyond your past. And the hope that you've imagined, now reality at last. You are love with no commission. You are love with no remorse. The scars of your forgiveness are engraved upon the Lord. You are loved. Saying you are loved beyond your failures. You are loved beyond
your past. Lord, trying to talk to
somebody. And the hope that you've imagined.
We just worship the Lord here for a moment.
Now reality at last.
Just worship
you
the Lord.
You are loved with no commission.
You don't know the
you
mind
are
that
loved
goes through sometimes.
No remorse. The scars of your
you might have walked in here this morning feeling like a failure.
Are engraved upon the Lord.
Just
you are loved.
Feeling the powers of hell just tormenting your mind. God's trying to help you this morning. He's trying to get you to look a different way at your life. The devil say, man, the reason you're in that mess you're in right now is because all the failures you made in your life. And he'll just try to paint such a gloomy picture. It's time you look a different direction. Sing again, girls. Sing that first verse. This altar's open if you'd like to come.
Never felt the Father's love as he held you in his arms.
This altar's open, church.
When you start to say, I'm sorry, he says you've done nothing wrong.
He wants to help you this morning.
Have you failed to meet the standards that you thought you should attain?
Have you failed to meet the standards you thought you
only
should
attain? Only to hear call your name.
Call your name. Wow, what
saying
words.
You are loved beyond your failures. You are loved beyond
your love. Thank you, Holy Ghost.
And the hope that you've imagined.
Thank you, Holy Ghost.
Now reality at last. You are loved with no commission. You are loved with no remorse. The scars of your forgiveness are engraved upon
your
the
love
Lord.
This morning,
church. You are loved.
He thinks you're precious.
You are loved beyond your failures.
Your
you are loved beyond your past.
Lord, you mean you can't remember?
This hope that you've imagined.
All those mistakes.
Now reality lies. You
mistakes
are loved with no
mistakes
commission.
In my family.
You are loved with no remorse.
Lord, the mistakes that
the
nobody knows about.
Your forgiveness.
I'm sorry.
Are engraved upon the Lord.
I don't know
you
if anybody else has ever
done
this, but there's some times I go to prayer and I just ask God to forgive me all over again. Lord, I know and I believe you've already forgave me for this. But God just, maybe that's wrong. I don't know, but I've prayed that. I'm honest.